Bitch, it's go time.
My wife gave birth around 6 weeks ago. So I tried to get her to hold off 6 weeks until my spot for the schmooze. Didn't work. So that's probably something. Okay. You just have to bear with me. So relate to everyone at different points during the schmooze. So if you feel like, oh, he's not really speaking to me, it'll speak to you at some point. So we're going to try an experiment now. It doesn't always work, because there's always someone that doesn't want to do it. But if everyone, the Rebbeim don't have to. If everyone could close their eyes. Okay, now I want you to think back to where you were this past Shabbos. Everybody remembers where they were this past Shabbos. Should be easy, where you were this past Shabbos. Okay, does everybody now think back? I want you to picture in your mind where you were two Shabbos ago. Now I want you to try and picture where you were on Sukkot, not during Chol HaMoed, on the actual Yontif of Sukkot. Where you were on the Yontif of Sukkot. Now, if you're Shana Aleph, if you're Shana Bet, I want you to think back a year. I want you to think about what you were doing 2 days before you left for Yeshiva. 2 days before you left for Yeshiva. I want you to picture in your mind exactly what you were doing. Feel like you were in the moment of doing whatever you were doing the whole day, what you were doing at that point. Now think about it. Really picture yourself being exactly in that moment, as long as it's nothing that's like really bad, but just picture what you were doing and really feel it. Okay, so hopefully you could open your eyes. So hopefully, what you were picturing is something that you can't fathom yourself spending the entire day right now doing. Maybe you do it a little, maybe. But whatever you were spending that entire day, 2 days before Yeshiva, right now, you could never imagine that that would be what you were doing. But there's a chance that part of you might feel like, wow, that was awesome. I miss that so much. There's just like a tinge of sadness that you're feeling for like those days. I didn't have to wake up early. Remember those days that I spent just chilling all day, not having any responsibilities. It was really great. Forgetting about the actual things that you were doing might just like you have that tinge. So it's good to know that you're not alone, because in this week's parsha we're told about Yisro. So Yisro decides he's going to join the Jewish people, because Moshe tells him Hashem did some amazing things. What it was, Kriyas Yamsuf, maybe it was Matan Torah, depending on the Rishonim that you're dealing with, but he heard some amazing things, and Yisro says, I'm going to join in. And the Pasuk says, Vayichad Yisro al kol ha-tova asher asa Hashem li Yisrael asher hitzilo mi'ad Mitzrayim. So probably all of us have already finished Rishon of Shnayim Mikra, so we all know what Rashi comments on the Pasuk of Vayichad Yisro. That yet Rashi says, Vayichad Yisro, the second explanation, Medrash Agada Nasa Besaru Chidudin, Meitzer al Ibud Mitzrayim, because he started to get all shaky, and he started to think about, it's great that God did that, but I feel bad for Mitzrayim. I feel bad for what happened to them. He had that tinge of like longing for his past life. It didn't go away. He was sad about it. His heart was wrenched over this. And yet, even though he had that tinge, he longed for Mitzrayim. He felt bad for them. He overcame it. So how did he overcome it? How did he overcome that sadness and that wanting to go back to his previous life? So if you look at the Psukim continue. Vayomer Yisro, what does Yisro say? Baruch Hashem asher hitzil eschem miyad Mitzrayim and miyad paro, asher hitzil esam mitachas yad Mitzrayim. Ata yadati, now I know, ki gadol Hashem mikol elokim, ki vadavar asher zadu aleihem. Baruch Hashem, he realizes, Hashem is amazing. Now I know how great Hashem is, and once I know how great Hashem is, and I know how amazing He is, it's pasha to me, says Yisro, that's the direction that I have to head in. I'm not going to go back. It's true, maybe I have that tinge, maybe I feel bad about Mitzrayim, but I know the decision that I have to make now. It's pasha, because once I see how great Hashem is, I say Baruch Hashem, and all of my decisions are now based over what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. all of his decision Yisro realizes have to be based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I might have that tinge, but I have to follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. There's another pshat that Rashi gives as to what Vayichad Yisro means. First pshat, Rashi says, Vayismach Yisro, Zeh Pshuto. The simple understanding is that he was happy. So how are we to understand this? If both, can both pshatim be true? Could it be that he had a tinge, he longed for Mitzrayim, he felt bad for Mitzrayim, but at the same time he was happy? So there are different explanations given how they could both be true. But one of the explanations that I saw is that, what was he happy about? He wasn't just happy about the miracles. He wasn't happy that Klal Yisrael were amazing. He was happy that he was able to overcome that longing for Mitzrayim. That's what he was happy about. He was happy about that he was in that mindset of, oh man, Mitzrayim would be great, and he overcame it, and he said, no, I'm going to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And in my mind, not everyone may agree with me, but in my mind, that is the ultimate goal of the year or more in Eretz Yisrael. The ultimate goal is to get to the point where I realize that every decision I make has to be made with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for me. To have a better understanding of what my priorities in life need to be, and it's all based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Because once I realize how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and I buy in, and I say, Hashem's the best, I love Him, so then everything I do has to be based around what He wants from me. And this ranges. Tremendous range of decisions that we have to make in our lives, from small decisions to large decisions. So we'll start with the small decisions. For example, really tired, I had a really long night, and I just can't get out of bed. Let's go to davening this morning. Okay, so I think about it, you know, I am really tired. But I know what I'm supposed to, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to get up to go davening. It might be hard, but I know that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So that's a simple decision for me to make. What am I going to do once this schmooze is over, I eat my lunch, and now I have a break? So what am I going to do during this break? So I have a couple options what I could do. Now I'm going to sit and learn through the entire lunch. Okay, no one's expecting that everyone is going to say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for me is to sit and learn the entire lunch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to relax a little bit also. But does He want you to sleep until you set your alarm for 3:30? And then that means you don't actually get up until 3:45, maybe if you're lucky. And then maybe you get to Seder by 4:15, and then you're tricking yourself into thinking that you made it to afternoon Seder when you got there from 4:15 to maybe 5:30, 5:45. So another, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do? He wants me to relax, but I'm going to make a decision about what I'm going to do during the break based on what I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. Do I miss Seder for anything? Okay, sometimes there are valid excuses why I need to miss Seder. I have a doctor's appointment. I'm legitimately not feeling well, not because I stayed up late the entire night watching Netflix. I had a rough, whatever it is. I'm sick from something. I got food poisoning. I have allergies. Whatever it may be. Sometimes there's legitimate reasons to miss Seder. But we need to be honest with ourselves and ask myself, is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be doing? Does He want me to miss Seder for this reason? Maybe yes. Maybe no, but we need to be honest with ourselves about it. And if we start tricking ourselves into thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to miss Seder for this reason that is clearly not valid, so then we're doing ourselves a disservice, because that's what we're here for this year. We're here this year to set ourselves up for success for the rest of our lives. If you can't make the right decisions now based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, then there's no way you're going to follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in the future. It's so nice that everybody has, I'm not worried about saying anything that's going to upset anyone, because there are other rabbis that you'll like if you don't like me, but it's so nice that our parents love taking guys out for meals. But let's be honest with ourselves. Do we really need to go out to every meal that we get invited out to? I guarantee you, your friend's parents will not be upset if they have to spend less at that meal. They're already spending a ridiculous amount, for some unknown reason, on your friend. But they'll be fine if one guy doesn't show up. They won't be offended. Okay, no, it's my best friend. Okay, maybe your best friend is different. But if twice a week you're going out to a meal, and therefore we have to leave early from Seder. They said we have to get to dinner at this time. Why don't you tell them that it's not a good time? Okay, Either way, we have to be honest with ourselves. This isn't what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, and this isn't what I need to make the right decisions now. What am I doing for Shabbos? Who am I spending Shabbos with? Am I spending Shabbos with a real Shabbos, where we're sitting at the table, who's ever the head of the house is singing Zmiros, maybe there's a Dvar Torah, maybe the conversation at the table is related to Yadas, maybe. Are we spending Shabbos with a productive Shabbos, or am I going somewhere for Shabbos where I know it's going to be detrimental to my Yiddishkeit, such that when I get back, I'm going to get back at night and be like, I can't believe that's what I spent my Shabbos doing. What was I thinking? You weren't thinking. Because if you were thinking, you wouldn't have gone there in the first place. But you had a weak moment. But you need to make sure that the decisions that you make are based off what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. What am I doing for Bein Hazmanim? Okay, Sukkot is past us. What am I doing this Bein Hazmanim? How am I going to make sure that the Bein Hazmanim that I have is a continuation, so when I come back from Pesach, I'm not going to be saying, oh man, I can't believe I have to build myself back up again. What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu want me to be doing during Bein Hazmanim? What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu want me to be doing during the summer? Does he want me to just drop everything I had this year to say, okay, I learned great for a year, but that's not a real year. Now I'm getting back to the real life and I'm going to spend my summer, whatever it is that I may be doing that might not be what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, or am I going to say, you know what? This was great for me. I realized that this is good for me, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu would rather be going to this place instead of that place. And for everyone, it's different. It's not like we're going to get up, all the Rebbeim united, and say everybody from Shraga should be going to for the summer. That's not going to happen because every guy is different, but every guy needs to think about themselves. What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu want me to be doing this summer to make sure that I actually have a continuation of what we did this year? Where am I going to college? Assuming we're going to college, where am I going to college? Am I going to college in a place that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be going to? Or am I going to a place that I know Hashem doesn't really want me to? And I really shouldn't be going there. What profession will I choose? When I choose a profession, am I thinking about what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me as a person, to be spending my life doing? Or am I just thinking about other priorities in life? What's going to make me the most money? What's going to give me the most prestige? And I trick myself into thinking that, well, I want to make money so that I can give tzedakah. That's really why I want to make money. Maybe I'll live in a big house also. Maybe I'll drive nice cars also. But it's really for the tzedakah. It's easy for me to say. I don't have any of that. But people might trick themselves into saying that. Is this really what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from me? What community will I live in? Rabbi, you're crazy. I'm 18, 19, anybody 20? Okay, 18, 19, 20. What am I thinking about? What community I'm going to live in? That's crazy. Why would I think about now what community I'm going to live in later on? And the answer is obvious. Because if you don't make a commitment now to decide where you're going to live based on where Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, then by the time it's time to decide, it's going to be too late. You have to make a commitment now, not to decide, I'm going to live in Beitar, that's where I'm going to live. Okay, maybe that'll work out for you. But to make a decision that the community that I am going to live in is completely based on where I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to live. These decisions obviously range from, you know, the smallest decisions of what am I going to do right after the shmooze to huge life decisions, but they all have one simple thing in common. It's all based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for me. What are my priorities? My priority is Hashem. Could be coming in. My priorities might have been money, fun, God. Now we've changed our priorities from this year to realize whatever is under God, it's under God. But Hashem is the number one priority. So while it's true that there are other factors that might go into these decisions that we've discussed, the number one factor is, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? Now you might be saying, that's silly, Rabbi, because I'm going to make those decisions now, but I know that once I get back to my life, I'm not going to do that. So why should I make these changes if once I get back to the real world, it's not going to be like that anymore? And the answer is, first of all, look at everybody else that went back to the real world and still kept up the things, decisions that they made. But the second is, stop with that garbage. It's like ridiculous already with, no, when I go back to the real world, I'm not going to keep it up. You don't know anything. No offense. You don't know anything. You're 18 years old. Look at everybody else around you that has made the decision that you're making of, I'm going to go back to the real world, and I'm not going to keep it up anyway. And look how it worked out for them. don't pick anyone in particular because it's not right. But if you look at those people that made these things of like, I'm not going to make too many changes because I know I'm not going to keep it anyway, it didn't work out for them in the end anyway. So you might as well make these commitments now because that's the only way it's going to last and you're going to have a lasting change. I have a friend, not simple to do what he did, but I have a friend who was offered a very lucrative job in an out-of-town community. I won't name, so it's not too derogatory about that particular community, but suffice it to say, it was a community that the Torah sent, not like the Torah center of the world. They don't really have so much learning going on. They have a Jewish day school, but it's not the best. And he was offered a very lucrative job there where he would have been making a lot of money. And he spoke to his rebbeim, and his rebbeim said, you know, it's not like you're going to be poor if you stay in this area. So he ended up remaining in New Jersey in a much more Torah-centered community, which was not a simple decision for him to make, because it's not like it has one of those stories where then I say, and guess what? He ended up making $1 million in the end anyway, because that's what Hashem wanted from him. No, he didn't end up making $1 million in the end, but that's okay, because he's following what he felt, his Rebbe felt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted for him, and therefore, that was the right decision to make. It's not easy, but those are the kind of decisions that we have to make based on our priorities. So then you'll say, well, Rabbi, how am I supposed to know what Hashem wants from me? I'm only 18 years old. I think I know everything, but I really don't. So how do I do that? So one simple way is by speaking to your Rebbeim. Now, I'm not saying me, could be anybody, but I'm not the one that's Mechadish this. Many of you, if you haven't made it through Mesilas Yesharim, you've hopefully made it at least through the Hakdama, where the Mesilas Yesharim describes that life is a lot like a maze. And it's very difficult to make it through a maze. But if you have somebody standing up at the end of the maze that's looking down on the maze and they could direct you, so then who in their right mind wouldn't listen? Now, I can list you people in this room who, based on the way they're living their life, would say, no, I'm good. I'm going to figure it out myself. I will make it through this maze myself. And that's a silly approach. That doesn't make any sense. The guy who listens to the person that sees you is much better off. It's the same thing with this. Speak to people with life experience, whoever you may choose, who know you well, to know what's best for you. Then you'll be able to have a better understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. One of my favorite lines that I ever heard in my life, it's too bad I don't remember who I heard it from. It was someone once gave me these tapes, cassette tapes, of Shiurim on the Mesilas Yesharim. I don't remember who they were from. It was in 2002, 2003. And he said this line where he said, the problem with our Yiddishkeit is that we're constantly asking what's wrong with it instead of asking what's right with it. And that's what we do with a lot of things. When we're making these decisions, we say, not say anything in particular. What's wrong with this summer program? What's wrong with going to this college? What's wrong with me going to spend Shabbos in this place? That's a horrible attitude. That's not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu centered attitude. A HaKadosh Baruch Hu centered attitude is, what's right with this? What's right about what I'm about to be doing? And then you'll know that that's what a HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wants you to be doing. So once we get into that mindset of, am I doing, are my priorities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then everything else, then it's much easier to make those decisions. I'm not saying it's easy to put them into action, but it's easier to make those decisions once you're honest with yourself and asking yourself, is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants me to be doing? And now some of you will say, Rabbi, I am having an amazing year. I've made amazing changes. One of the most amazing changes that I've made is that I'm sitting and learning nonstop. And I don't want anyone to get confused and think that I am saying that you should not be learning. It's not like a Avram Willick like intro to set you up. So, learning is amazing. I'll explain it after. Learning is amazing, okay? Some of you might be saying, I'm sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash for hours, more than I ever have before. And I'm not downplaying that. But I think there's a very important point related to this from the Meshech Chachma. So Meshech Chachma, in a couple parshios, in Parshas Kisisa, when he's discussing the Aseres HaDibros, he discusses how Moshe comes down and he breaks the luchos, and he says, why in the world is Moshe breaking the luchos? Why would he do such a thing? So the Meshech Chachma says that this is what Moshe was crying about, was screaming about. He says, "Ha'im tidmu ki ani inyan ve'ezo kedusha bilti mitzos Hashem ad ki beheder kvodi asisam lachem egel." Do you think that I am the Holy One? I, Moshe, am the Holy One, and that's why when I'm not here, you needed to make an egel instead, something in its place. Chalila, gam ani ish kamochem. I am also a person like you. V'ha'Torah ina tluya bi. The Torah is not dependent on me. V'atim lo basi ha'isa ha'Torah b'mitziyusa b'lishin chalila. And even if I wasn't around, the Torah would still be here. Zehu v'ahi ki kasher karav alamachane v'ayaras ha'egel umecholos. That's what it means when it says that he came down and he saw it. Having ta'usam, he understood their problem. Vayichar af Moshe. Moshe got upset. Vayishlech miyadav es aluchos. And he threw down the luchos. Ritzono lomar. Ki ein shum kedusha binyan eloki klal biladi mitzius habori yisparach shema. V'im hevi haluchos hayu kimachlifim ego baluach velo saru mita'usam. Well, why did Moshe break the luchos? Because he was afraid. They had me. They thought I was the best. I'm gone. They make the ego. Now when we destroy the ego, what are they going to make into the ego instead? The luchos. So he takes the luchos and throws them down on the ground to say, no, none of this is holy be'etzen. None of this is the holiness. It's only holy because of Kadosh Baruch Hu infused the holiness into it. You can even make the Aseres Adibros into Avodah Zarah if you don't realize that the Kedusha that it has is infused from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what's important for us to realize when we're learning Torah as well. If we make learning into a thing unto itself and not realize that we're learning because of Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be learning, that we're learning Hashem's Torah, then we run the danger of turning even Torah into Avodas Hashem, into Avodah Zarah. To realize that when we're learning Torah, we're only learning Torah because of Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be learning Torah. Now obviously, that's a much more extreme step once we get to that point. That's another thing that we definitely need to keep in mind as we go on in this journey. So, where are we holding now? So we saw we had Yisro and his tinge, and we all experienced that tinge and that longing for what we had beforehand also. And we saw that Yisro overcame that because he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was great. And that decision that he made now is to follow everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do. And we saw that we have to take that step also to realize that all decisions that we make need to come from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be doing. To realize that when we have our priorities, whether they be small decisions or great decisions, it's all about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be doing. And even in our Limud HaTorah, to make sure that the Talmud Torah that we have is focused towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, that while we're working out now, we're working out realizing that we're trying to improve ourselves for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to make a commitment now, because if we don't do it now, it's not going to happen, to make a commitment now to realize that whatever decisions we're facing in life, and I didn't mention all of them because I didn't want to single anybody out, but whatever decisions we are facing in life, to make those decisions based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, so that this year won't be a time capsule. It won't be, I had a great year, and now I'm ready to move on with my life. But rather, all the growth that we had this year will continue on to the next year, and the next year, and the next year. And when you're thinking about, as my final plea, when you're thinking about, what should I be doing next year, realize that the decision for next year, whether you're Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, but more right now whether you're Shana Aleph, should be based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be doing. What will allow me to continue this amazing growth that I have had this year in my Yiddishkeit to ensure that the focus of the rest of my life will be Avodas Hashem.